May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Today the Church begins a period of time known as Passiontide. The action experienced by the Church in the daily readings slows down. There's more of a focus on remembering the whole story. The word passion means suffering, and it comes from the Latin. The usual meaning of passions replaced this suffering, save from in the Christian Church. But it bears recalling, for in these next 2 weeks, we're really invited to slow down with Jesus and his friends, to let the strangeness of it all sink in, to experience again something of the disappointment, the fear, the betrayal of the events of Holy Week. And in doing so, we also help prepare ourselves to truly enter into the celebration of Easter, the celebration of life over death. Our readings this morning take us a long way back in our faith tradition, all the way back to the notion of covenant, that agreement made between God and humanity, and within which all talk of God takes place. God made a covenant with human beings. Both the readings were written looking back, trying to make sense of all that was said and done. Now, there's a difference between covenant and contract. God didn't make a contract with humanity. Contracts involve promises. Covenants involve oaths. We heard that in our first lesson. God swore an oath with his people. If we enter into a contract, we actually enter into something that's going to have some exchange of either goods or services. We give our word to something. And if the other doesn't keep their word, the contract is broken. Covenants are much different. They take the form of an oath, often with God as witness. But in the case of God's covenant, God himself. The other notion of covenant is not just that of oath, but that of eternity. God cannot change God's character. And the covenant which God made with his people cannot be broken, not by our unfaithfulness. God's love is never changed by our response to it. There is nothing that we can do to make God love us any more, nor any less. But the story from the Exodus and so many others from our faith ancestors remind us of how tough it is as human beings to keep our part of the oath, our part of the covenant. Not just what Abraham promised through circumcision, but also in keeping of the laws and ordinances. That which Moses went up the mountain to get and tried to communicate to his people when he came down. So important it was that he kept going back, that the mountain itself took on huge proportions. Even animals that touched it would die. The people knew how important the covenant was, but also how impossible it was on the part of the people for it to be kept. And so in some parts of the Hebrew Scriptures, and the prophets in particular, we have a covenant being referred to as part of the work of Messiah, the one who would rescue God's people from themselves, if you like, to restore them to that right place of covenant, the right place of desiring only to do what we've given our word to do. The solemn oath sworn to follow those graceful laws of God, laws to keep us well, to show us how to truly live. In the second lesson, we heard also something of covenant, looking back many, many years later, trying to draw out that connection between Messiah and covenant. In the story of the Exodus, we heard how the covenant was sealed with the blood of animals offered to God in the way that God had told them to do. And then in the letter to the Hebrews, a recollection of that sealing of the covenant and a reflection from the writer on what was now new. A covenant not sealed with the blood of animals offered by the priest, but in the life and death of Jesus of Nazareth. The risen Christ is now the mediator of our covenant with God. No longer the animals offered by the priest in the Holy of Holies, away from ourselves with the splattering of blood. The risen Christ now mediates that covenant between ourselves and our God. Moses took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. The people said, "All the Lord has spoken, we will do. We will be obedient." And yet they couldn't. They couldn't through sin and frailty. They couldn't endure what they weren't able to keep. And so the sense of being terrified that forever there was a distance between God and humanity, God on God's side being faithful to that covenant, that oath sworn to keep. Jesus of Nazareth, through his blood, through his passion, was the covenant between God and people. When we turn the corner to Passiontide, so we also turn back to remember that covenant. The gift of God, the suffering of Jesus, Jesus' preparation for his death, the stories of his life and teaching, his example in the last hours before his arrest, his pain at the betrayal and desertion by his friends, especially Peter and Judas, his care for his mother, for his friend John, the love of the women disciples who courageously followed all the way to the cross. Jesus lived in the covenant which God made with his people through Abraham. Jesus lived in the covenant which was sealed and signed by the offering of the blood of animals. Jesus knew what it was for a priest to be responsible for mediating this covenant, to offer on his behalf and on behalf of his people the blood. And we live in the same covenant God made with his people, but for us, sealed and signed by the blood of Jesus, the risen Christ living to mediate that for us, to represent us to God, to represent God to us, to stand in the gap, to cover the whole distance between God and us, which we, through our sin and frailty, often cannot cross. God meets us where we are. That's the nature of covenant. In a contract made between two people or two entities, they meet in the middle, the place of contract. My obligations and my rights meet your obligations and your rights. In the nature of covenant, both those who are members of the covenant seek to cover the entire distance between them. Not meeting in the middle, it's not 50-50, it's 100-100. We know we cannot do the 100, but we know that Jesus does it for us. And the way that he did it is through his suffering, through his own blood shed for us. And God, in raising him from death, fulfilled his part of the covenant to restore us to life, that we might know God in all his fullness and to know how to be truly human. So in this Passiontide, may we engage afresh with what that truly cost Jesus and rejoice again at the great love he showed for us, for the whole created world. We live in covenant with God, who will never let us go, in whom we live and move and have our being.